He has pulled all of the women back who were recruiting in the outside world. He has grounded us all. We practice with guns like everyone else now. We are rapture-focused.
She rinsed the dirt off the rag and brought it back to my chest.
At least, all of Commune but me.
The pain in Phoebe's voice was evident. You are no longer his consort at all? Phoebe shook her head, keeping her focus on the job at hand.
Sarai did not want me there. The Prophet does anything she asks of him.
Her hand stuttered on my skin. Phoebe quickly righted herself and said,
So he discarded me from his side.
She breathed deeply.
I was nothing more than a frivolous fancy for him anyway. I was skilled in seduction and sex. That is all I have ever done for this commune. I have outgrown my purpose.
A tear from Phoebe's eye dropped onto my skin.
A man, from the outside world, came to stand at the Prophet's side. I do not know where he is from, but he stays close to the Prophet along with Brother Luke, Prophet Cain's right-hand man. The new man has no hair, and is very strongly built. I heard whisperings when he arrived that he was supplying the guns that will be used in the oncoming Holy War.
Phoebe released the rag and pointed at my tattoos. I understood what she was saying. The man had tattoos.
Though they are different.
From yours. I silently filled in for her.
He took an interest in me during one of the Lord's sharings I was made to attend.
Phoebe's face paled.
He has since claimed me as his.
More tears fell from her eyes and she struggled to breathe. I reached out and held her arm. She flinched again, even though she knew that I was no threat.
He expects me to do certain things with him that I do not want. But the Prophet has ordered me to stay with him. He said he is important, essential for the coming Holy War. I do not know his name. He makes me call him Meister.
Phoebe leaned forward and whispered,
Prophet Cain is planning an attack on the devil's men.
Her blue eyes implored me to understand.
He wants to attack them before they attack us. That is why the people are training so hard. We are to bring the wrath of God to their gates. Prophet Cain has received a revelation that we are to strike as soon as the order comes from God. We must be ready.
It took me several seconds to understand what she meant. A cold trickle dripped down my spine as I tried to decipher her words. When I understood, that trickle turned into a goddamn flood. The hangman, I whispered. Phoebe nodded her head. Her hand was shaking.
He said they are to die. All of them, women and men alike, no mercies. He preaches that they are all sinners and defectors from the faith. He claims that the revelation he received ordered we are to leave no sinner alive.
He wants revenge. I sighed in frustration. He wanted revenge for them taking the curses from us. For their attack on our old commune. For killing our uncle. For fucking breathing. I replayed what Phoebe had said. He said they are to die, all of them. Women and men alike, they are all sinners and defectors from the faith. Women and men alike. He planned to kill May, Delilah, and Magdalene, too.
My sister,
Phoebe said almost inaudibly, tears building in her eyes.
He will kill her for her desertion from our order, for fornicating with evil, for the men he lost when the devil's men came to take her back.
My blood rushed so fast that my head became light. I tried to think of a way to stop it, to help, but I couldn't. I was stuck in this fucking cell. I was always stuck in this motherfucking cell. Phoebe seemed to read my face.
It is hopeless, is it not? He cannot be stopped.
Her breathing hitched.
My Rebecca will die.
You should run, I said, so quietly that Harmony wouldn't hear. Phoebe shook her head. Why? I asked. Get the hell out of this place somehow. Save yourself. She hesitated.
I need to protect someone. And the man that has me, Meister.
She shook her head.
He will never let me go. I can feel it. He has become obsessed with me.
Phoebe's tears ran thick and fast.
He scares me so much. It is over for me now.
Phoebe finished off wiping my body.
I fear it is over for us all. Everything has changed since this Prophet ascended. We can never go back.
Guilt swarmed my stomach. Phoebe gathered her things and stood. Just as she was about to leave, she turned back and whispered,
I once thought you the same as him, but now...
Her shoulders dropped.
But now I see that you are not. You share different hearts and souls. One pure, one dark. It is just a shame that darkness always seems to prevail in this world.
Phoebe left the cell, the door slamming shut in her wake. I stayed still where I sat, stunned by her words, but the anger bubbling in my blood built higher and higher. Of late, it was the only emotion I seemed to feel. Pure fury at my twin and everything he was doing. I returned to the wall. I lay down on my front and crawled to where I would see Harmony again. As soon as our eyes met, her hand pushed through the gap. My fingers wrapped around hers. I closed my eyes and let the solace of her touch calm the rage inside just for a moment. We lay in silence, but my head raced. What could I do? How could I stop this? I was still thinking hard when Harmony said,
Ryder.
Yes, I replied, opening my eyes. She squeezed my hand tighter.
It may make me an eternal sinner, but one thought keeps occupying my mind. I keep praying for something that is savage and cruel, but I cannot stop.
What is it? I asked in a rough voice. Harmony took a deep breath.
I pray for death.
My muscles tensed. She wished to die.
For the prophet,
she quickly added, and I stilled.
I pray for Prophet Cain to die. I pray for our freedom from his enforced hurt and pain, and I think that could only happen if our leader died, if his cruel heart was no longer beating.
I didn't say anything in response. I didn't say anything because I fought with a greater internal war, a greater personal sin, because I was starting to pray for that too. I was praying that Judah would be taken down. I had started to pray that my own brother would die. And if those thoughts could only come from a sinner's heart, then a sinner I was. Chapter 7. Ryder. A week went by, a groundhog day of daily beatings by the disciple guards, and no sign of Judah. The only light was having Harmony beside me. It amazed me how quickly I had come to need her, covet her. Her hand in mine as we talked became the only thing that kept me from giving up. Each day Phoebe would come to my room. She didn't speak to me again after her confession. She washed me as instructed, and each day I watched as she grew further and further from the girl I once knew. I watched helplessly as she closed in on herself. Each day brought with it new bruises, and each day she became less and less of the vibrant woman she had once been as the consort to my brother. The sound of footsteps in the hallway pulled me from sleep. I pushed away from the wall, filling the gap with the loose stone brick. I always put the brick back in place when the guards came for me. If they thought I had been talking to Harmony, they would punish her. I wouldn't let that happen. The guards opened the door and entered my cell. It had gotten to the point where I didn't even look into their eyes as they led me away. I didn't even look at their faces as they pulled me to my feet. We took the usual course, the guards dragging me from my cell down the hallways and out onto the path. Once in the now familiar building, to my surprise, I was led to the room where I had talked with Judah earlier in the week. My heartbeat sped up as the guards opened the door and threw me to the center of the floor before leaving the room. I heard another door open. I knew who would be walking through. I squeezed my eyes shut, my hands balling into fists on the stone floor. I breathed in slow, controlled breaths as I tried to make peace with the fact that I would see my twin again. Instead, a pit formed in my stomach. He was my brother, yet I hated him. I hated my only family. I pictured Harmony's stunning face in my mind. Over the past several days, something had faded in her too. The light she shone so bright was fading to a dull glow. I pictured Phoebe. I pictured her bruised face, the devastation in her voice when she confessed what her life had become. Brother. Judah's voice sliced through the war in my mind. I raised my head to see Judah standing before me. He stood as he always did, dressed in a white tunic, perfectly groomed with his hair down and eyes bright. Not a fucking care in his warped world. Judah. His eyes narrowed at the use of his birth name, but he shrugged and crouched down before me.
I see your attitude is very much the same, brother,
What did you expect? The flash of sadness in Judah's eyes made me feel a slither of sorrow. I expected you to repent by now. I have been waiting anxiously, expectantly, for the gods from your cell to come and get me. I expected by now that you would have asked me to come to you to tell me you had thought everything through and that you want to be by my side, as it should be. I hope for it still. Judah's dark eyes implored me to say it, to speak those words and join him. I wanted to. I wanted so badly not to feel this pit of doubt and disgust in my stomach. I wanted to take his olive branch and accept. I wanted it so much. But I just... Why the guns? I whispered. Judah's head tilted to the side. Why do our people practice shooting day and night? They are not all soldiers. The women and children are not meant for violence. Prophet David declared the women to be home dwellers. They are to procreate and keep the men happy, not to fight. Judah's face grew stern. We are all soldiers in God's holy war, brother. No person from our flock is spared to win the greatest war of all. We all need to fight. Women and children, too. Fight who? I asked. I needed to hear the plan from his own mouth. I had to be sure. Judah's eyes shone with a crazed light and a vicious smile spread on his lips. The hangman, brother, he informed me. His hand slipped to my shoulder and he squeezed me with excitement. God has revealed a great plan of revenge for everything they have done to us. He leaned in closer. For everything you had to endure when you lived with them all those years. They are to be punished by our hands. All of them. We will take God's wrath to their gates and destroy them in their own backyard. When?
Soon,
Judah said happily. Soon. In such a short time I will have conquered our greatest enemy, brought our salvation through marriage to the cursed, and we will ready to embrace the coming end of days. Peacefully? I asked. He shrugged. Until the next enemy comes, until the devil sends more of his sinners. Every person in the outside world is our enemy, brother. If we must fight them all, then we will. And then I knew. I knew that Judah's quest for power would trump everything that our faith taught. I knew he would never back down. There would never be peace while he was at the helm. He could never be redeemed. I want you at the wedding, brother. I want you to watch me wed the cursed whore, then cleanse her of her original sin in front of our people. Every cell in my body turned to a heavy block of ice. The wedding. Judah would marry Harmony, then take her in front of the people to begin the celestial exorcism of her sin. He would fuck her publicly after they had wed. And knowing my brother, he would do it violently. Harmony. No. It would kill her. Judah leaned in further, awaiting my response. The sudden anger that had built up inside burst free. With a spurt of strength, I tackled Judah to the ground. My brother, no match for me in strength or skill, fell onto his back. I slammed my hand over his mouth to keep him quiet, wrapping the other hand around his neck. Judah struggled on the floor, thrashing beneath me. As I met his eyes, I saw pure fear and shock staring back at me. Adrenaline surged through my veins. My hands shook with the enormity of what I was about to do. My hand tightened around Judah's neck and I began to squeeze. Judah clawed at my arms, his nails raking at my flesh. But he had never fought before. My 5 years with the hangmen had taught me how to fight. They had taught me how to kill. Efficiently and quickly. Without mercy.
No.
Judah mouthed as I pushed hard on his throat, watching his skin begin to mottle with red. His body was becoming starved of oxygen. I told myself to look away from Judah's eyes. I knew I had to make the kill. But as Judah's gaze locked on mine, I couldn't tear my eyes away.
No,
Judah whispered again, his lips turning blue.
Brother,
he begged, his eyes watering. As the tears built in Judah's eyes, each one felt like a dagger piercing my chest. My determination to kill him, to actually see this through, began to wane as our lives flashed before my eyes. Judah laughing beside me as we grew up alone. Just him and me. Judah always by my side as I struggled with understanding the scriptures, his open arms greeting me when I fled from the hangmen. He had asked no questions of me, had no doubts in me. He was my little brother. He was all I had. "Why?" I rasped, as hot tears built in my eyes, scalding my cheeks when they fell. "Why did you have to fuck all this up for us?" Judah tried to shake his head to explain. My hand was an iron vise around his neck. Judah's nails struck harder into my flesh as I growled. "You were meant to stand by my side, even if I fucked up. You swore you would always be with me, that you would always support me. Why the fuck did you have to turn on me? Why the fuck did you have so much venom in your heart that you would destroy our people and our faith in your quest for blood?" My eyes bored into his. Judah scrunched his eyes shut. I watched his mouth as he tried to communicate. When he did, it broke my heart in two.
"I am sorry, brother," he said, opening his eyes. "I am sorry I failed you, Cain. I love you."
A roar ripped from my throat, and my hands fell from around his neck. He was my brother. He was my fucking brother. "I can't," I said as I slumped back onto my legs. "You're all I have. I can't." Judah coughed and sputtered, his starved lungs sucking in breath after breath of much-needed air. Looking back at me over his shoulder, he scurried to the steps that led to the raised part of the room. I waited for him to speak. I held out my hand, willing him to take it. I wanted him to communicate with me, to tell me he'd listen to what I had to say. Instead, my heart fell when he shouted, "Guards! Guards!" Three guards came bursting into the room. They ran to Judah and helped him to his feet. Judah pointed at me.
"Take him away and punish him."
Judah cleared his husky throat, rubbing at his already bruising neck.
"He just tried to kill me. He just tried to murder your prophet."
The disciple guards whipped around to face me, a savage rage on their bearded faces. I didn't even react. I knew what my fate was. They would kill me. I almost laughed at the irony. I had tried to kill Judah, but I couldn't, despite his flaws in the end. I loved him too much. He was my brother, my twin, my best and only friend. I couldn't end his life. He clearly had no such loyalty to me. I could see that as he glared down at me on the floor, a small, victorious smirk etched on his lips, his triumph over me, his power of me. I let my body drag as the guards launched me to my feet. I kept my eyes on Judah until we reached the door.
"Brother,"
I heard, just as we were about to exit. The guards spun me around so I was looking up at Judah, standing in the center of the highest step.
"This is why you would never have been able to do this, to lead our people. When push came to shove, you could not see this killing through, even though you felt it right to do so. You feel too much. You always have. You have a conflicted conscience in a damned and evil world."
He let his hand fall to his side.
"In the end, your good heart was your demise. You are a weight that I have carried for years. A weight today I gladly will rid myself of. Good hearts, brother, have no place when leading people on the right path. They only stand in your way."
As the guards dragged me to the punishment room, as they strung me up like Jesus on the cross, as they beat my body until I was sure I would soon be dead, all I could think was that Judah was wrong. Hung up on this wooden cross, dying slowly with every punch to my ribs, chest, and stomach, I felt no light in my heart. I only felt darkness consuming my soul. I only felt hatred forcing my heart to keep beating. I felt evil flood my veins. And for once I didn't try to resist it. I embraced it. Gone was Prophet Cain. In his place was a devil reborn, one that bore no resemblance to the man before.
Chapter 8. Harmony. I paced the cell as day faded to night. The door to my cell opened, and Brother Stephen and Sister Ruth sneaked through.
"Has he returned?" I asked hurriedly.
"No," Sister Ruth replied.
and I felt my heart fall with dread. "What are they doing to him?" I asked. Ryder had been quiet for days and days. I missed the man that spoke to me so sweetly those first few days in my cell. I held my hand to my chest and shut my eyes. The man that held my hand was sweet and full of grace. But over the past few days, he had grown distant. Something was torturing his mind. He never confided what that was. He never confided much of anything. Not that I shared my heart, either. The secrets that were becoming harder and harder to bear. And now he had not returned from his punishment. I felt another wave of dread in my gut. Something was not right. I could just feel it. The sound of low voices came from outside my cell. I looked at Brother Stephen and Sister Ruth in alarm. They ducked out of the cell, and I rushed to the corner where I normally sat. I listened intently as the sound of the Prophet's guards came from the hallway. I prayed that Ryder was with them. I listened hard to every move and heard Ryder's cell door opening, then a thud, as if someone had been hurled to the floor. My stomach lurched with nausea. Ryder. I waited impatiently for the guards to leave his cell. When I was sure they were gone, I pushed the loose stone from the gap. Ryder's room was dark, but I saw him lying in the center of the floor. I was too far away to see if he was okay. I began to panic. I could barely see him moving. I could not even hear him breathe. "Ryder," I whispered loudly, hoping he would hear my call, but he did not move. "Ryder," I called louder, but not even a flinch of acknowledgement came from him. I squinted my eyes, trying to see more, but I could not. I tried for what felt like an eternity to rouse him. When Ryder still did not stir, I jumped to my feet and began banging on my door, all worry of punishment fleeing my mind. "Brother Stephen! Sister Ruth!" They rushed to open my door. "Harmony, quiet," Brother Stephen begged, nervously looking out of my cell window. "It is Ryder," I said quietly. "He is not moving. I think he is really hurt." Brother Stephen glanced at Sister Ruth and my stomach sank further. "He is he not? They have hurt him badly." Sister Ruth reached out and touched my arm. "He is not conscious. He is not awake. He..." She winced. "I am not sure he will come back from this. He is beaten very badly, Harmony. Maybe too much. I cannot tell." "I need to see him," I said firmly. "Help me get in to see him."
"Harmony," Brother Stephen shook his head.
"No," I cut him off. "He has been here for me. I care for him greatly. I will not see someone else hurt. I cannot," I confessed, unable to finish my sentence. Sympathy flooded Sister Ruth's gaze, and her shoulders sagged.
"Solomon and Samson have just been called away. The Prophet has called an emergency meeting." Hope filled my chest. Perhaps I could get to Ryder without being caught. "But I do not know how long they will be, or if they will come back alone."
I heard the warning in her voice. But I did not care. She must have seen that in my face. She left the room. In seconds, she was back, holding a brass key. "Come," she said hurriedly. Picking up the hem of my dress, I followed her into the silent hallway and to the cell next door. Sister Ruth opened the door and let out a gasp. I brushed past her. My hand flew to my mouth when I saw Ryder on the floor, battered and bruised, his body awash with blood. Tears built in my eyes, but I chased them away to turn to my guardians.
"Get me buckets of clean water and rags. We need soap, too."
"Harmony," Brother Stephen said worriedly, but I raised my hand.
"I do not care if I'm punished for this. What does it matter, anyway? The Prophet needs me alive, and I will not leave Ryder this way."
I moved to Ryder's broken body.
"I'm sure he would not leave me in this state if it were me. And I know you know this to be true. You have listened to us talk. You have heard the kindness of his soul."
Brother Stephen and Sister Ruth shared a concerned glance, then hurried off to fetch what I had asked for. I dropped to the floor beside Ryder, my hands trembling with nerves.
I never thought I would ever see him in the flesh,
face to face like this. My eyes tracked over his body. He was large, tall, and extremely broad. He dwarfed my petite size. I did not know why, but I liked that he was bigger than me. He looked like a fallen warrior, strong and brave. I leaned forward, gently pushing back the matted, dirt-ridden hair from his face. All I saw was bloodied skin, bruised and harmed.
"Ryder," I whispered, stroking a finger along his cheek. "I'm sorry they have done this to you."
He did not stir. I was sure he had not even heard me. Sister Ruth and Brother Stephen came rushing into the room. They placed the rags, towels, and soap I had asked for on the floor beside me. Sister Ruth had brought a comb and scissors, too.
"Good Lord," Sister Ruth said as she drank in Ryder's injuries. "What have they done to him? He looks awful."
I did not want to answer her. I feared I would break if I did. I made quick work of wiping down his arms and chest. His legs were covered with what looked like filthy tunic pants. I guessed they were once white. Now they were anything but. I would not touch them, though. I would never violate him in that way. As I wiped at his arms, I frowned, seeing colored pictures peeking out from the coating of dried blood. My stomach lurched as I looked closer. Pictures of devils and evil beings were scattered over his skin.
"How did he get them?" Brother Stephen asked.
I shook my head. I glanced up at Ryder's face, but it was once again shielded by his unwashed hair. Too busy washing Ryder, I failed to hear someone arrive at his door. I heard an anguished cry and turned to see a woman standing in the doorway, holding a basin of water in her hands. She stared at Ryder on the ground, her face paling at the sight. She looked at me, and her blue eyes widened further. My heart thudded. Jumping to my feet, I said,
"I'm being kept in the cell next door. I saw that he was injured and came to help."
I pointed to Brother Stephen and Sister Ruth.
"I pushed past them to run in here when I saw the guards had left the building. The fault lies with me."
The woman listened but did not respond. She looked behind her, then entered the room.
"Who are you?" she asked curiously.
"My name is Harmony."
The woman swallowed.
Are you a cursed woman of Eve?"
Straightening my spine, I said,
"Yes, I have been declared so."
"The prophet has you hidden away from us."
"Yes," I replied truthfully. I had been caught. There was no reason to lie now. I expected the woman to run out of the cell block and fetch the guards. I did not expect her to step further into the room and place the basin on the ground. Her eyes fell upon Ryder, and she shook her head, tears brimming in her eyes. I noticed bruises and marks on her skin, too. A sudden jolt of fury settled in my chest.
"Is everyone here getting hurt? What is happening to our people?"
The woman crouched down next to Ryder.
"This man attacked the prophet."
Cold infused my senses, and my eyes widened in shock.
"He was called to meet with Prophet Cain, to repent his sins. Instead, he attacked him."
"What?"
I said in a disbelieving whisper. The woman nodded her head.
"I heard the guards boasting about their beating of him. The prophet ordered them to truly make him pay." She sighed. "This man was only trying to protect his people. I know he was. He was trying to keep us safe. And the prophet did this to him."
The woman's voice trembled. I bent down and placed a hand on her arm. She looked at me, staring at my veil. Confident that I could bare my face to her, I reached up and unclasped it. I drew back my headdress, too, allowing my long blonde hair to tumble down my back. The woman did not look away. Her bottom lip quivered and she said quietly,
"You are certainly accursed. You are so very beautiful."
I frowned.
"You are not afraid of me? Repulsed by my evil nature?"
The people in our faith were meant to fear me. No cursed was ever embraced with open arms.
"No," the woman said and turned back to face Ryder. "I do not fear you. I know that cursed are not truly cursed after all.
I could hear the pain in her voice. I searched the woman's face. It was on the tip of my tongue to ask her if she had ever met any other cursed, but I did not do it. I did not dare push her tolerance further.
"You care about him?"
the woman asked. My heart seemed to miss a beat. Ducking my head, I said,
"Yes."
The woman nodded, and a flicker of a smile pulled on her lips.
"He is a good man,"
she said, and then her smile faded. She looked straight into my eyes.
"He is good. You must remember that, no matter what. He is not a bad man. He is like us, beaten down and confused about how we have all been raised. But he is good, no matter what you hear."
She huffed a mirthless laugh.
"I have encountered the opposite, the bad one, and know with crystal clarity the difference."
I shook my head in confusion, but the woman suddenly jumped to her feet when music began playing from the speakers outside, the Lord's Sharing call.
"I must go," she said. "I'm needed in the Sharing Hall. You must hurry. The gods may be a long time in their meeting, but you do not want to be caught."
Her eyes fell on the scissors.
"You are going to cut his hair?"
"He needs more cleaning than he has been getting. He can barely breathe or see through this hair and beard. The heat is too much for him to bear." She cast her eyes down.
"I will tell them I cut it. I will tell them today's beating made it essential for his hair to be cut so I could tend to his wounds."
"Why?" I asked.
"Why would you do that for me?"
"For him?" The woman shrugged.
"Because, despite it all, he deserves this help. He has been kept in this terrible state for too long for doing what was right."
She smiled a weak smile.
"There is not much else they could do to hurt me anyway.
One more punishment would not be so hard for me to bear." My heart broke for her.
"Thank you,"
I said as she went to leave. She paused in her step and, looking over her shoulder, said,
"Remember, he is not bad."
I opened my mouth, wanting her to explain what she meant, but she was gone. Rushing to finish the task, I cleaned all the blood from Ryder's arms, stomach, and chest. I moved to his face. His eyes were shut, and on more than one occasion, I had to put my ear to his mouth to check he was still breathing. He was so still, I worried that he would pass. I needed to move fast. Sister Ruth and Brother Stephen stood watch at the doorway as I tried to wash Ryder's hair and beard. Sister Ruth eventually came to hold up his head when she saw I could not both hold him and clean his hair. It took 4 washes to loosen the knots and clumped strands of hair into manageable pieces. Taking the scissors, I cut inches off his hair, then proceeded to comb it through. When I was done, I helped Sister Ruth guide his head to my lap. I smiled at the feel of him so close. My heart felt like it was swelling to an impossible size as I stroked my finger along his clean cheek. I was pleased to see that it looked as though the bruising and swelling was mostly on his body. His face appeared mostly unharmed. It felt strange to touch a man of my own accord, to stare at him so entirely. It was my choice to do this, and it was freeing. I knew it felt different because it was Ryder. I trusted him. Impossible as that was for me to comprehend, it was true. I had not even realized it until that very moment. The fellow sinner had formed a bond with me that I had never had before. 2 prisoners, finding solace in the other's voice and the simple touch of a hand. "Here." I looked up to see Sister Ruth holding out a razor. I took it from her hand and brought it to Ryder's cheeks. His beard had risen too high, hiding much of his skin. Taking the blade, I delicately drew it downward. As his cheeks came into view, excitement grew inside me. I would soon see how he truly looked. I would finally see his face. As I cut and combed Ryder's beard, his hands began to twitch. My pulse began to race. My eyes darted to Sister Ruth.
"He is waking."
Sister Ruth's eyes were bright as we watched him begin to stir. Wanting to finish the job I had started, I ran the comb quickly through the rest of his beard. Once the final stroke was made, I glanced down and let myself truly take him in. His eyelids fluttered open, revealing beautiful brown eyes, the pupils struggling to focus. Ryder's long lashes brushed his cheeks, his eyes met mine, and my world stopped. But it did not stop for the reason I thought it would. My heart shattered apart, and my breathing became too quick for me to find air. I scrambled back in fear and panic, knocking his head from my lap. I crawled away on hands and knees until I reached his feet. Sister Ruth held out her hand to help me stand, but the sound of Ryder's voice stopped me dead.
Harmony?
Ryder's voice was croaked and weak, but I caught the hint of panic in it. I took a deep breath and slowly turned to face him. I felt the blood drain from my cheeks when I saw his face. There was no mistaking what I was seeing. Ryder's eyes filled with such guilt that it almost made me cry. But I held strong.
How? I do not understand.
Sister Ruth crouched behind me, laying her head on my shoulder for support. I glanced at her and saw the confusion on her face. She had no idea what was wrong. I faced Ryder again, watching as he struggled to shift into a sitting position, his torso black and blue. The pain in his taut face made me want to go and help him, but I was paralyzed. I could not move. Ryder fought to breathe as he moved his bruised limbs, only finding relief when his back hit the stone wall. Right then, I saw Ryder in his true form. He was beautiful. But then again, I had thought that when I saw this exact face many days ago.
How?
I repeated, forcing myself to hold Ryder's gaze.
He is my brother, he confessed, pain racking his face.
This time I knew it was not physical pain, it was emotional. I remembered what the sister had said earlier.
The prophet ordered them to truly make him pay.
He is my twin, the prophet is my twin brother, and he has renounced me. He has thrown me to the dogs.
Sister Ruth froze behind me. I heard her breath catch in her throat. I glanced up and saw her eyes grow huge at Ryder's revelation. Before I could ask if she was all right, she dashed out of the room.
Where are the guards? He suddenly asked, a panicked edge to his raspy, low voice.
I could not look his way. It hurt too much to look him in the face.
They are away right now. The prophet called a meeting.
When I made myself face Ryder again, his eyes were steadfastly on me.
Harmony, he whispered brokenly.
He lifted his hand and held it out for me to take. This time the tears did fall, because although I was looking into the exact eyes and face of the prophet I despised, Ryder's trembling hand helplessly reaching for mine was the single most devastating moment of my life. Fear was written on his face, fear that I may reject him, the man with the face of the man I hated most. My fingers twitched as I stared at his hand. I wanted to take it, but as I looked back to his face, I asked,
I do not understand. Why are you in here?
Ryder's face fell into an expression of utter rejection and despair. I watched his hand fall to land on his leg. His shoulders sagged in defeat. His eyes drifted downward and his skin paled. If there was ever an image of a man destroyed, it was this. My heart tore into tiny fragments as I watched the hope leave his broken form. The cells quieted, but I could hear Sister Ruth and Brother Stephen near the door. I knew they would be listening in. They would want to hear whatever Ryder would say.
Ryder?
I pressed, my voice a soft whisper. I waited for him to speak, my head pounding. I had to force myself to stay back near the door of the cell, but it was hard. Ryder looked so lonely, slumped on the hard floor, that I wanted nothing more than to take him in my arms. Even more when he looked up, with tears tumbling down his cheeks, rasped,
"You are so beautiful, Harmony. I know it isn't what you want to hear, but it's true."
I swallowed back the momentary happiness those words made me feel, because those words, from Ryder's lips, did not pain my heart the way they usually did. Ryder sighed and looked down at our gap in the wall.
I thought it when we would talk through that gap.
He lifted his hand and looked at his palm, rolling his fingers closed as if he was imagining my hand was still in his.
Ryder, I said again, inching just that little bit closer. His hurt was like a magnet to me, and only I held the power to comfort him. But I needed answers first. Ryder's head dropped, but after a long breath, he said, I am Cain. I am the destined prophet of the Order. Prophet David's true heir. The air froze around me. What? My hand went to my mouth in shock. In the same monotone, lifeless drawl, Ryder continued, I ascended a while ago and came to New Zion with my twin to take the mantle of leader of our people. His face contorted into an anguished expression. I was never very good at it, he said more softly, gently. He shook his head and a small huff escaped from his lips. But Judah, my brother, was. He guided me. He was the puppet master, pulling my strings. Ryder paused, lost in his thoughts. I did not realize that until today. I edged closer still, my body gravitating towards his as he shared what had led him to this hell. I kept disappointing him, my people. I couldn't get anything right. He trailed off, muscles tensing. I didn't like some of the practices that Prophet David had taught us. I didn't share all of the beliefs that the prophet was meant to endorse, ones vital to many in our faith. His eyebrows dragged downward. I couldn't let them keep hurting people. I couldn't keep hurting people. I had to stop them. The Lord Sharon? I asked, hoping that that was one of the beliefs he found so repulsive. Ryder nodded and squeezed his eyes tightly shut as if ridding an unwanted image from his mind. I didn't know, he said in a voice barely above a whisper. I didn't know. I refused to believe this of our people. Until I saw it with my own two eyes and had no choice but to see its ugly truth. He sucked in a sharp exhale, and a guttural sound slipped from his chest. I saw them hurting children, Harmony. Young girls being forced upon by grown men, their arms tied behind their backs with contraptions prizing their legs open. Nausea clawed at my throat as I recalled what that trap felt like, pushing my thighs apart, the sting from the sharp teeth sinking into my tender flesh. I closed my eyes, just trying to rid myself of the memory of feeling a guard pushing inside me, of trying to hold in my screams because it would only give my chosen guard the satisfaction of hearing me cry. I couldn't take it, Ryder said, pulling me from the past I tried hard to keep from my heart. I opened my eyes to see his fingers digging into the flesh on his legs. I managed to stop one. I stopped a Lord Sharon, the first and only one I ever witnessed. You did? I asked, a sense of hope building within me. Then my brother, my only family, my only friend in this entire fucking world cast me out, put me in this cell and ordered daily beatings to make me see the error of my ways. Ryder's eyes lifted until his gaze met mine, and his face broke down in tears. He took it all away, Harmony. Left me alone, and I... His voice got caught in his throat, and my heart burst apart, no longer able to see or hear this man breaking apart so completely. I rushed forward, crawling to sit by his side. My eyes drank him in again, the sight of his face, hair, and beard tricking my mind to run. My eyes tried to tell me that this was the wicked prophet Cain that had touched me and hit me so violently. But my heart told me this was a confused and battered soul that needed comfort. Needed something and someone to be real, to be there for him. I lifted a shaking hand and found Ryder's. He flinched as I touched him. By the way he blinked his tears away and looked at me in shock, I knew he had not seen or heard me approach. Without breaking his gaze, I turned his hand over and threaded my fingers through his. I watched as Ryder's scared and timid face was masked in confusion. His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed in trepidation. His gaze fell away from my face to land on our joined hands. I felt him squeeze them, as though testing I was truly there. He closed his eyes, savoring the touch, the closeness. I let him have this moment. I studied him,
feeling butterflies fluttering in my stomach. He had called me beautiful, but I could only think the same about him. His brown eyes and long dark hair were mesmerizing. His body was built to protect, hard and strong. But what I loved most when I looked into his gaze was the kindness it held.
He is good. You must remember that. No matter what. He is not a bad man. He is like us, beaten down and confused by how we were raised. But he is good.
The sister's words played in my head. She had known who he was. She had known that he was the prophet. Ryder let out an agonized moan. I held his hand tighter as he opened his mouth and said,
I tried to kill him, Harmony.
Sympathetic tears ran down my cheeks. I had never heard someone so in pain, so broken and lost.
I tried to kill my brother to save you, to save us all.
He took a deep breath. To save you from the wedding. I stilled the air fleeing my lungs.
What?
I said in disbelief.
I could see what the thought of marrying him was doing to you.
Ryder shook his head.
I know him, Harmony. I know what your life with him will look like. Hell. Every day by his side will be pure hell. And the ceremony? What you will have to do in front of the people to seal your vow.
So you tried to kill him?
For me?
My heart clenched. I had to marry the prophet. But he had tried to save me from that fate.
My God.
My guilt ran thick and strong. Ryder nodded, and the last ounce of strength he had in his beaten body faded away. He slumped farther back against the wall, and his grip on my hand slackened.
Rest, I said, bringing my free hand to his face.
Before I realized what I had done, I had run a finger down his cheek, the tip stopping at his full pink lips. Ryder's eyes locked on mine. I tried to breathe, but the air suddenly felt too thick and hot to try. Ryder took his free hand and brought it to my finger on his lips. Ducking his gaze, I gasped when I felt him kiss my finger gently, a light butterfly kiss. Heat flooded my cheeks, my inexperience infusing my veins with nerves. But I could not take my eyes from Ryder's mouth on my finger. I was mesmerized. Warmth filled my every muscle. Ryder pulled back his mouth, only to use his grip on my hand to pull me closer, my chest moving to hover over his. My heart beat a loud, drumming rhythm. I felt Ryder's heart beating just as loudly and quickly below mine. Ryder looked along his lips, tracing the outline of my own with his finger.
Have,
he began, his voice low and raspy. He cleared his throat.
Have you ever been kissed before, Harmony?
Finding my lost voice, I answered,
No. Cursed though never kissed, our taste and touch is thought to taint a pure soul, to corrupt a saint into a sinner, to capture a heavenly soul for the devil to collect.
Ryder's eyebrows drooped together.
I am a sinner, Harmony. If your kiss damns pure hearts, then it is too late to affect mine.
Ryder's mouth moved toward me, and I let him take the lead. I had no idea what I was doing, but I wanted to try. In that moment, I wanted it more than anything else. Ryder was the first man to ever make me want anything remotely close to affection. Then Ryder's lips were pressing against mine, soft and gentle, flesh against flesh. I waited for him to show me what to do. When his lips began moving ever so slightly against mine, I followed his lead, Ryder's taste bursting on my tongue. I moaned breathlessly as his hand slipped through my hair and grasped the back of my head. Our lips pressed harder against one another's. Ryder's touch consumed me. He consumed me. The fallen, destined prophet, touching me with a gentleness that made me weak. Ryder's mouth broke from mine, and we both fought for breath. Ryder tipped his forehead to mine and closed his eyes. I brushed his freshly washed hair from his face, and a smile pulled on his lips.
You cleansed me? He asked.
Yes, I replied, a new foreign lightness engulfing my heavy heart.
You cared for me?
His voice held an echo of disbelief. Yes, I replied, and felt him relax. Lie down, I said, and drawing back, guided his large body toward the stone floor. The guards, he said, trying to resist. They will return. You can't be here. You'll be punished. It is okay, I said. His face molded into a confused frown. A confession was on the tip of my tongue, but I held back from expressing it when I saw his eyes drop with tiredness. Instead, I said, Brother Stephen and Sister Ruth will warn us before they come back. My answer seemed to appease him. Ryder didn't release my hand as he lay down. I joined him on the floor. Ryder wrapped me in his strong arm, my head falling onto his hard chest. It felt so strange to lie in such a way, but I allowed it. I felt myself wanting it more than anything. In this cell, with the true prophet of our faith, I was home. I knew there was no other place I would rather be. The strangest of circumstances. I glanced down at Ryder's arm, at the inked markings on his skin. My finger traced the demonic pictures. Ryder, why do you wear such haunting images on your skin? Who put them there? Ryder's body stiffened. There are things you don't know about me, Harmony. Bad things. Sinful things that I've done. Places I've been. A shiver of fear and unease crept down my spine. Raising my head, I stared at Ryder's conflicted face. I too had a past that I could not, and did not want to, divulge. But there was one question I had that would change my feelings for Ryder, or not. Have you? Did you ever awaken a child, Ryder? The resounding shock was clear on Ryder's face. Never. I... He ducked his head, as though embarrassed, and added, I am pure Harmony. I have never lain with anyone. I've barely been touched by a woman. His stunning features hardened. And I would never take a child. It is immoral and wrong. No god I could ever believe in would condone such a thing. A weight I did not even know I was carrying was freed from my shoulders. Spurred on by his confession, I shifted my torso up until my mouth hovered above Ryder's lips. I was taken aback by the admiration I saw reflected in his eyes. I knew I would remember that look for eternity. You are good, I whispered. You may have sinned in your past, but you are redeeming yourself now. Ryder shook his head. His mouth opened to argue, so I stopped the words from flowing with another kiss. Ryder tensed beneath me, but it was not long before he relaxed and his lips moved softly against mine. When I withdrew, the affection in Ryder's eyes warmed me like nothing ever had before. I like kissing, I confessed, and I was rewarded with a smile, a true, genuine smile. The sight stole my heart. Cursed was a title only a woman could hold, but if there was such a title for a man, Ryder would have it. Everything about him was beautiful. I could see he did not believe it. In fact, I could see the raw self-hatred in everything he said and did. I could see it in his haunting dark eyes. But as I laid my head down on his chest, Ryder's strong arms holding me close, I simply let myself feel this. This care from the man who tried to kill his only brother so I could be freed from his abusive hand and spared the public joining. That was the future that awaited me. I had always known my fate would not be one of joy. It was never in the stars for me. So for right now, I would bask in this feeling, the comforting arms of this man, before it was too late. The only man that had ever shown me such affection and honor. The pure prophet with the conflicted heart. A heart I believed could be saved, even if mine was already damned.
Chapter 9. Ryder. My body wanted me to sleep, but my mind kept me awake. Plus, as I looked down at Harmony sleeping draped over my chest, I knew I would never close my eyes. I never wanted to move from this spot. The outside world could wait. For all I cared, it could fade to oblivion. As long as we got to stay here, just like this, undisturbed. I stroked Harmony's long blonde hair. My heart swelled as her breathing hitched at my touch. I felt my lips spread into a ghost of a smile. Then it disappeared as I thought of what lay ahead of her. Judah. the ceremony, the joining, a life of servitude and horror. The sudden surge of anger I felt was almost too much to contain. I fought to keep my body still, as wave after furious wave built in my stomach. I had no way to stop him. I didn't kill him when I had the chance. I would never get that chance again. I fucked up my chance at saving her. She would be taken from me, and I wouldn't be able to do anything about it. I held Harmony tighter. My mind suddenly drifted to Styx and May. I felt sick as I thought of my time with them, months and months ago. This was what Styx must have felt when I took May from him and brought her back to the commune. This helpless fucking feeling, the feeling that you might lose the one that resided in your heart. No wonder he wanted to fucking kill me. No wonder May didn't want me. I ran my hand down over Harmony's cheek. I knew now what this type of connection felt like, and I couldn't fucking lose it. I wouldn't cope if I did. I was still staring at Harmony's beautiful sleeping face when the cell door began to sneak open. I straightened, preparing to fight whoever was coming through, convinced it was the guards returning. Whoever it was held a candle in their hand, the soft flame illuminating the room better than the bright moon outside, whose rays were spearing through the small window. I forced my eyes to adjust to the new light. It was a man I often saw out in the hallway. I relaxed some, knowing this man was Harmony's guardian, a man she trusted, a man she seemed to treat almost like a father. He came closer to us, so as not to disturb Harmony. He glanced down at Harmony on my lap, and his face softened. He looked to be somewhere in his 50s. He had jet black hair and brown eyes. He looked familiar to me for some reason, but I was sure I had never seen him before. The man, Brother Stephen, Harmony had called him, met my eyes. Besides the candle, he held something else in his hand. I frowned as he crouched down and placed the candle on the floor by my side. He leaned forward and placed a file in my hands. I glanced down at Harmony. She was sleeping soundly. I opened the file, and in the dim candlelight, looked at the first page. My stomach fell. An old picture of my uncle, Prophet David, stared back at me. It wasn't the fact that it was his face that shocked me, but the type of picture it was. I had lived amongst the hangmen for 5 years. Each one of my former brothers had one of these pictures hanging on the wall in the clubhouse. A mugshot. My uncle was staring up at me from the page in a fucking mugshot. I squinted my eyes to study the picture further. He was holding up a board containing his personal information. My face blanched when I read the name. Lance Carter. I shook my head, struggling to comprehend what it all meant. A finger landed on the file, and I looked up at Brother Stephen. "Read it," he mouthed. "All of it." "The guards," I mouthed back. "Do not worry about them," he said, and left the cell. I waited for him to close the door, but he didn't. Was this a trick? I waited for the guards that should be stationed in the cell block to burst in and frame me for having this file, but none came. My pulse sped up in confusion. I had no idea what the fuck was happening. I was too tired to think about it too much. I took a deep breath and opened the file again. I leaned over toward the light of the candle and began to read. With every sentence, my stomach sank further and further to the floor. It was information on my uncle. Information on his life before his mission. Lance Carter, born in Little Rock, Arkansas. Typical life, until he was found guilty of child sexual abuse. 2 counts of rape of 8-year-old girls. Jailed for 20 years, served 12. Vomit traveled up my throat. My uncle, the leader of our faith, was a motherfucking convicted pedophile. I gripped the paper in my fists as I fought to control my anger. I read on further, each new piece of information slicing its poisonous dagger deeper into my heart, into everything I had ever fucking known, deeper and deeper, until there was nothing left. Lived alone in rural Arkansas with other convicted pedophiles whom he had met in prison, quickly drew in more men when Lance Carter, then renamed Prophet David, claimed to have received a revelation on a pilgrimage quest to Israel. In truth, he had never left the United States. The commune, which preached the oncoming end of days and a free love doctrine, grew in such vast numbers that it needed to relocate. Carter bought land in the rural outskirts of Austin, Texas,
Carter announced within the coming years that God had ordered him to send his people to other countries to recruit new followers to the order.